Okay, good morning. Good morning, friends. Today is the 28th of July, 2013, and we have completed 133, that series of programs, four of them. And we are now working on Esoteric Astrology Adventure 134A. We're talking about different centers in the world. And we've been looking at Geneva, Tokyo, Geneva, London, New York, Darjeeling, Tokyo. I have discussed this somewhat before. The first ray that I give in this series of three rays, some of them duplicated, three rays for each of the planetary centers, is the ray of the planetary center itself, considered as a planetary center. And the other two rays are the rays of the cities, per se, considering them as cities. So these are planetary centers, and you see it's largely a mixture of the, well, the first ray predominates, but in different aspects. The very recessed first ray for Darjeeling, the constructive first ray for London, and the material first ray, rather the material first ray for Tokyo. Then for Geneva, the strongest second ray comes through it, and for New York, the sixth ray. So the soft line is represented by Geneva and New York in terms of planetary centers, not cities per se. And the hard line, and there is only the first ray represented, comes in through London, Tokyo, and finally, subjectively behind everything, Darjeeling. So now we're discussing Geneva particularly. The force which the center of Geneva is expressing at present ineffectually, though later a change will come after all the, interestingly, the very strong United Nations presence exists in Geneva at this time. A strong United Nations presence now in Geneva is that of the second ray of love wisdom, with its major emphasis at this time upon the quality of inclusiveness. It is concerned with, and here's the quote, binding together in brotherly love. In some ways it seems very Venusian in that respect. I wonder if there is a way for us to see what may be the astrological signs of Geneva. We have 13 references here. And it's Leo. Leo and the heart, interestingly enough. Yeah, this was what I was looking for a bit earlier. We have the New York Cancer, Tokyo Cancer, Geneva Leo, Darjeeling Scorpio, but we're not being told the soul sign and the personality sign. But still, I think I can put this in as a reminder. I think right here, with the expression of the nature of service. All right, I'm going to put this here and make it smaller. Quite a bit smaller. Here we go. This will give us the this will give us the idea of the different cities, their astrological rulerships. We see that there's a very strong Leo quality in London when you're looking at the city itself. Here, there's a Gemini quality, and there are many interconnections here. Tokyo connected with New York, and Leo connected with the city of London, and the Gemini of London connected with its own the Gemini soul of Great Britain and with the Gemini personality of the United States. Okay. So now, let's see if there's anything further on Geneva or any of these other cities in terms of listing the any further astrology on the city itself. No. But that's coming. That's coming. Actually, I realize that this is taken from an area where we're just about to enter into the discussion of it. So I won't say too much for the moment. So regarding Geneva, it is concerned with the binding together in brotherly love. It sounds so much like the third decanate of Aquarius, which is ruled by Venus, and in which is to be achieved eventually brotherly love after the previous two decanates. So in another 1500 and a half, 1550 years or so, we will have the beginning of this period of the Venusian decanate of Aquarius. And just think how long ago 1,500 years was from now. You know, we're back in the 5th century, let us say, or the 6th century. We're back in the 500s or 600s A.D. We certainly feel somewhat remote from that period, as if so much has happened in civilization, and we're looking ahead to a period that far distant from us in time. So when we look at the world today, we wonder how this could happen, but apparently it can. This planetary center, which conditions the little country of Switzerland, has had a most potent effect upon that country. So a chakra within a country, because obviously it is one of the chakras of Switzerland, and also it's a planetary chakra, maybe even more importantly, or a planetary inlet, can have a great effect upon the country in which it is placed. A study of these effects will demonstrate future possibility for the world once the flow of energy is less obstructed. Now here we had a situation, you know, okay, we had a wartime. We had a wartime situation at the time that this was being written. So, of course, okay. Of course, it could not be released in full, naturally. And Switzerland was neutral in the war, but probably provided some sort of service for Germany, some kind of banking service, I suspect. So this was a wartime situation. It has produced the fusion of three powerful racial types in group formation and not through admixture, as in the United States. Now, when we talk about racial types, do we mean... certainly there are three national types coming together, the German, the Italian, and the French. And I don't know if he means by this racial types. I'm not familiar with Switzerland enough to know that there are distinct races, but at least there are distinct national and cultural types fused together, not through admixture, because different parts of Switzerland relate to these different groups. So cultural, I would add. It has enabled two relatively antagonistic divisions of the Christian faith to work together with a minimum of friction. And I suppose by this we mean the Catholic and the Calvinist. Well, let's see how we can spell this properly. Calvinist, there we go. It has made Geneva the origin of the Red Cross, and this tells us something about DK working through Geneva, because DK has been a power behind the Red Cross, that world activity which works impartially with and for the nationals of all countries and for the prisoners of all nations. So that is the strong hierarchical vibration. It has housed that sad, though well-intentioned, experiment which we called the League of Nations. It is that which has protected that small country from the aggressive sweep of the Axis powers. The motto or note of this center is, I seek to fuse, to blend, to serve. Such a very prominent second ray motto. And interesting about the protection, of course, the mountains are there as well, but I guess if there was the will to bomb, the planes certainly fly over the mountains, but it was not possible, perhaps, to invade. That has protected Switzerland often from invasion, but DK looks at a more subjective type of protection here, and it is related to the second ray coming from Geneva. Now, when it comes to the signs involved, they are not very second-ray signs. The soul sign of Switzerland is Aries, I believe, and the personality sign Aquarius. But the blend of Aquarius and the second ray can tell us something about their social structure and their organization into the as they call them, cantons. Now we go to London. Okay, the force which is centered in London is that of the first ray of will and power in the building aspect and not in the destroying aspect. So if that is the case, the higher part of Vulcan is prominent. And it would be, I suppose, given the fact that Taurus is the ruler of the personality of the United Kingdom. It is the service of the whole which is being attempted at great cost, and the effort is to express the law of synthesis with its new emphasis pouring from Shambhala. So the factor of synthesis, which I suppose is very different from what Tokyo had been expressing, is present, and the service of the whole. And we know from our history of the Second World War now the great cost which fell upon England, the United Kingdom in general. Excuse me. Okay, so the constructive or building aspect is here. The service of the whole, because it is a more mature nation and can see things globally in a better way, and I suppose the Gemini power of London helps to see all of the interconnections and to bring in the Love Wisdom Ray as a subset of the first general ray of will and power, which I think, again, is in its second aspect. To me, synthesis expresses the second aspect of the first ray. And the synthesis is a new emphasis pouring from Shambhala, hence the fact that the governments of many nations found asylum in Britain, because it had this synthetic worldview and the prominent second ray as well. So, you know, excuse me, there's more here than the... Sorry for this early morning. One tries to get a head start on things, you know. But maybe the voice doesn't clear up enough so early. Anyway, the magnetic welcoming of these different nations, it still goes on today, has to do not just with the first-rate personality of the United Kingdom, of Great Britain, but with this power of the first ray in its synthetic aspect pouring through a city which is ruled by an inclusive sign. It brings in only the second ray, and which is the same as the soul ray. So the soul ray of the kingdom can work very much through London, even though the rays of London are the fifth and the seventh, and Leo and Libra are involved. So hence the fact that the governments of many nations found asylum in Britain. Likewise, if the forces of light triumph because of the cooperation of mankind, you know, the sharing of the burden of defense, the energy expressing itself through this powerful empire will be potent in establishing a world order of intelligent justice and fair economic distribution. The justice will relate to the power of Libra. To the power of Libra ruling the personality of London. And also the third ray of economics combining with Gemini, which shares and distributes. The national psychology proposed by DK is one of the very best insights into the true motivation and function of nations and their major cities and also parts of the world. For instance, the different hemispheres, the West and the East, the North and the South. The keynote of this force pouring through London is I serve. As I earlier told you earlier in this treatise, and see the last page of a treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 1. I serve, and maybe some of this would be found, some of the important information in the Destiny of the Nations. This part in esoteric astrology should, in a way, be read in combination with the Destiny of the Nations, where he gives brilliant astrological analyses of the certain more prominent nations, most of them, I think, really all of them still prominent today. And the method he presents can easily be applied to the individual or to the group, and you see the number of different factors that are taken into consideration, not just the ray chart, he does that, but the rays coming through the planets are considered as contributory. I live a good deal of the time here in a nation which is given only the signs involved, and Aries, personality and a Capricorn soul, so we know right away that Saturn and Mars, two planets of hardship, in a way, and yet planets which can bring an individual or a group into the hierarchy, are prominent in this country, Finland. And there are a number of the different countries given where only the astrology is given and not the rays. That has to be pieced together, and there is the attempt to do that in some of these countries, including Finland. Now we're going through to New York as a planetary center. The force expressing itself through the center of New York is the force of the sixth ray of idealism. Mars and Neptune are both rulers here. Hence the conflicts everywhere to be found and the varying ideologies and major conflict between those who stand for the great ideal of world unity, brought about by a united effort of the forces of light, backed by the cooperative effort of all democratic nations, and on the other hand, the separative materialistic attitude of those who seek to keep the United States from assuming her responsibilities and her rightful place in world affairs. And this is going on everywhere to be found within the U.S. and the and that region of the world, because the isolationism of the Cancerian can also be there. Isolationism of the sign Cancer, which rules New York, we are told, can also be prominent. There is that connection. I think with Washington, we're given both Sagittarius and Cancer to rule Washington. And if I'm correct about that, let me just see. And that would be a link with the Cancerian rulership of New York. Let's see. Well, yes, the capital city, Washington, Cancer and Sagittarius. Cancer rules the soul. We're not told what the Cancerian energy of New York rules, whether it's the soul of that particular center or whether it is the personality. I suppose these are all capital cities here in the destiny of the nations. And all kinds of links are established here. Right. Okay. So it was not determined at this time whether the forces of light would actually prevail. We saw that in discussion concerning London. And wherever you have the sixth ray, you will have conflicts between ideologies, at least at this stage of human development. It's a Martian ray in many respects. Where the sixth ray is found, there will be ideological conflicts. And we know that there were so many at the time of this writing that did not want the United States, for instance, to enter the war. It was Europe's business, and it would not affect the United States, which was protected by its sense of isolation. Of course, not a true protection at all, given the attitudes of the Nazi group and the Axis group, because there certainly would have been an attack upon the United States. It was necessary to enter, and one can wonder whether that entry was at all staged by Franklin Roosevelt, who was a great disciple and knew of the necessity for the country to enter the war. So there was a major conflict there in that country for those who stood for the great ideal of world unity, and backed by the democratic nations. And then, of course, the forces of materialism, the separative materialistic attitude of those who seek to keep the United States. There was even the alliance in the U.S. of many German people of German origin with Germany, at least idealistically. There was a kind of Bund, that, as it was called, and the sense, in many respects, that Germany was correct in what it was doing. So this latter group, this materialistic group, if they succeed, says the Tibetan, in their endeavor, will deny the United States her share in the gifts of the gods in the coming age of peace, which will succeed the present point of critical suspension. These prophecies from the old commentary. Amazing that they do work out, and they are written so long before the period when they work out. So if the sacrifice had not been made of entering the war and taking up rightful responsibilities in world affairs, there would have been a sacrifice in the life more abundant, the gifts of the gods. I suppose that the U.S. would not have been in the position having not shared the burden, it would not be dowered with the gifts. And probably, well, it all depends who would have won. It's highly unlikely that the Allies, as they are called, would have won that war without the participation of the United States on two fronts. Gemini gave us the two-front war. Germany tried to fight a two-front war, but it was really too small to succeed and went down probably for that reason. So the old commentary uses these interesting words. I think this relates to the life more abundant. The sixth ray is either militant and active, and obviously this is the Martian effect, or mystical and pacific. And this can be the weaker side of Neptune when insufficient love motivates. Because we know that when there is a sufficient Christ love ruled by Neptune, there's nothing one will not do to see that love expressed. So the sixth ray is either militant and active, or mystical and pacific. Interesting about the Pacific Ocean and the kind of continent which in the future is predicted to rise there. And at present futile. And these two aspects at present condition the United States, with perhaps the militant aspect under Mars, more warlike, of course, contending with the more passive side. The keynote of this world center, notice he's not just calling it a city, that's what's important. As a city, it may have, I wonder if we can find that. I think I tried that before, but it was not successful. New York City, and we're told that it is one of the major chakras in the United States, but we're not given here. It's science, only Cancer, so far. No, it doesn't appear to be found. So we know that it's ruled by Cancer, it has the sixth ray, and that the second and third ray are powerful, third ray personality and a second ray soul, but its function in the world is that of the sixth ray. So it's good to keep clear the levels on which those rays are operating, and we're only given its function as a world center. We're not given its soul ray and personality ray. No, I mean, we're given that. We're not given its soul sign and personality sign because it's not a capital city, but we're told that it could be or will be a capital city eventually when the power of Washington moves increasingly towards New York. At least DK predicts this. This has not yet happened, but he predicts that it could be, and then maybe we will learn of the astrological signs of that city. I think Cancer is a very strong possibility, and I think Gemini for communications is also quite strong. The busyness of the city is pronounced with its third ray personality and the major, I suppose, communications center in the world still. So the keynote of this world center is, I light the way. And this is the privilege of the United States, if its people so choose and permit worldwide humanitarian self-sacrifice, which is self-initiated and firm decision to stand by righteousness to govern their present attitudes and policies. When one looks at the politics of New York, one realizes that these politics extend far beyond the city and the country. It extends to an entire region of the world which is ruled by that planetary center. So I light the way. It's illuminative. It seems to have a lot to do with Gemini in a sense. We don't say of Cancer, I like the way, but it also is the idea of the sixth ray holding up the torch. The torch and the lotus, we are told, are two important symbols in the coming Aquarian age. So holding up the torch of light and the fire of right, as it is called. So the symbol of the Statue of Liberty given by France, where liberty, equality, and fraternity had an idealistic basis, emphasizes the function of the United States as a torch-bearer. In the old days, one who used the torch went forward into the darkness and literally lit the way. We will see whether the United States has lost its way or whether under the present Pluto influences, Pluto opposes the sun, the July 4th sun of the United States, having opposed Jupiter as well, both of them in Cancer, whether those changes and the squares coming from Uranus will help to bring the country back into a more mature position and on the right path. Anyway, he tells us that this is slowly coming to pass, the humanitarian attitude, the self-initiated self-sacrifice, the firm decision certainly once the war was entered. There was a firm decision to stand by righteousness. But maybe at the time this was written, there had not been the firm decision. Maybe without Franklin Roosevelt, there would not have been the firm decision. So this is slowly coming to pass, and the selfish voices of the blind idealists, much under Neptune, under Pacific Neptune, the fearful and the separative are dying out. So already the trend was there. As this is happening under the inspiration of service, all this is happening under the inspiration of service motivated by love. And in this, I think we see the second ray soul. Second ray soul of the country, and the way in which Gemini, its personality, personality sign, and Aquarius carry the second ray. Sorry. So we know that Aquarius, while not a second-ray sign per se, has among the more advanced types the influence of Jupiter, which brings in the second ray. And as we only know of certain signs, certain rays connected with Aquarius, so the fifth ray is connected, but Aquarius is also the sign of universal love, which is certainly second ray, and you can wonder whether this sign will not carry much second ray to the United States during the Aquarian Age. Thus, the two major democracies can eventually restore world order. You know, there's a Gemini connection between them. There's sort of a Leo-Aquarius connection between them, and also between the U.S. and Russia. I'm talking about Great Britain having the Leo energy. Negate the old order of selfishness and aggression and usher in the new world order of world understanding, world sharing, this is Aquarian, and world peace, this is Libran. And world sharing is Aquarian, the great sign of service and distribution. And the great peace will be the result of understanding and sharing and not the origin of them, as the pacifists so often imply. So if we can establish these second-ray virtues, second-rate Geminian Aquarian virtues, then the peace will follow, and not because there is some sort of condition of quietude without any of the difficulties really solved, only suppressed. So the two major democracies here, at least at this time, the UK and America. There are other democracies, but these two are the greatest ones. Now, Russia becomes increasingly a democracy, and it has the strong Aquarian soul. So if you think about it, the UK, with its Geminian soul bringing in the second ray, the United States and Russia, both Aquarian in nature, bringing in the second ray through Jupiter and maybe one of the constellational rays, who knows, not expressed at this time, not discussed, is the second ray distributing universal love. Russia has the seventh ray soul, so there's two second ray souls and the seventh ray soul, rays most prominent and important in the Aquarian age. So maybe Russia too, these days, will be part of establishing a new world order, negating the old order of selfishness and aggression, which is still very much with us and, you know, driven by financial ambitions. So a new world order of world understanding, world sharing, and world peace. That's what we're looking for. Some people talk about the new world order as if it's a hateful thing, as if it's a regimentation, as if everyone will lose their freedom. But the way the Tibetan discusses it, it's meant to be just the opposite, really. The force pouring through Darjeeling at this time is that of the first ray or will of will and power. Should kind of highlight these things. Maybe they'd stand out just a little more in the text. And here's London. We'll highlight London. Not the destroyer, at least not now. Maybe in the days when John Bull ruled and there was more the first-ray impositional aspect of Leo and Taurus, there was less of the constructor. But London has always been a builder, I think. The force expressing it through Geneva, however ineffectually, second ray of love and wisdom. All right, this emphasizes the importance. We still have Tokyo to deal with. Okay. So Darjeeling, the first ray of will and power, when considering it as a world center. I think we should put that down. I've been saying it. The cities can be considered as world centers and will have a ray accordingly, or as cities in their own right with two rays, a soul and personality ray. The egoic ray of India is the first ray, and hence the immediate effect of the inpouring Shambhala force is to stimulate the will to power of all dictators. Now that's in general, I suppose, because we're not having so many dictators at the moment in India. As a matter of fact, at that time Gandhi was ruling, and at least his manner of presentation was not that of the dictator. He wasn't Britain was still ruling the country, but Gandhi was leading the opposition. So the immediate effect of the Shambhala force is to stimulate the will of all dictators, whether they would be world dictators such as Hitler and his group of evil men, ecclesiastical dictators in any religion, business dictators in any business, group in any part of the world, or those minor dictators, the tyrant in the home. The will is stimulated. And is he saying, though, that this stimulation comes partially from the first ray energy pouring through Darjeeling and strengthened by the first ray soul of India? It's interesting that in that country there's so much hardship, that the lower classes of people are suffering so greatly even to this day. China seems to have improved that. There was a time, I think, in China, another first race old country, when the peasantry suffered greatly. I'm sure there's still plenty of suffering, but it looks like things have been turned around compared to the lack of organization in India. It is interesting to note that the key note of India is, I hide the light. Okay. And this has to be interpreted to mean that the light pours forth from the East, and that the gift of India to the world is the light of the ageless wisdom. I guess even Buddhism, which has been such a light in the East and now increasingly in the West, has come originally from India, where the Buddha took his incarnation or his overshadowing of his disciple. So this is true in a sense, but there is a wider and deeper sense in which it will prove true, not only the ageless wisdom. When the intent and purpose of the great life, which works through Shambhala, is carried out and is in process of expression, a light will be revealed which has never yet been seen or known. And one is reminded here of the what's called unfettered enlightenment of Shambhala. There was a word in the Christian scriptures which says, in that light we shall see light. This means that through the medium of the light of wisdom shed abroad in our hearts through the ageless wisdom, we shall eventually see the light of life itself. Now, this is interesting, because Aries, the soul sign of India, is closely associated with the light of life itself. And I think I can establish that here, that Aries and light of life. Let's see. The path of light from Aries, etc. Let's see if we can look at this. Aries, the light of life itself. Well, right now it's the dim point of light found at the center of the cycle of manifestation, and it has also a meaning which is solar-logoic. But later, its planetary meaning will emerge as Shambhala intensifies the presence of its own light within humanity. Okay, I think that's the one place where it's listed, and also we have connected with Taurus an interesting similar idea on page 332, Taurus, the light of life. It doesn't say itself, but it calls it the light of life. And there's a sense in which Pisces seems to anticipate that as well. So this, we shall eventually see through the light, through the medium of the ageless wisdom, a still greater light. So the the lesser light of the wisdom will usher in a great shambolic light. Something meaningless and inexplicable to humanity at the present, but which will be later revealed when the present point of crisis is surmounted. And we cannot say that this means the war only. We're still in the present point of crisis, I think. This would mean World War II only. Because we have not yet passed into the promise of the Aquarian Age, and there is still much that could prevent humanity from entering into these benefits in a timely and correct manner. As I've often said, Aquarius need not be a beneficent sign. It can, whatever condition prevails, it can bring it to all. So if it's a disease or war, it can bring it to all, just the way the blood will distribute whatever enters into the blood through all areas of the body because of the circulatory system. I would like to here interpolate some remarks. It is of deep moment to realize that Great Britain and the United States are closely related and that this relation makes certain realities and activities inevitable. Once the soul of each nation is functioning potently. Now, we remember that we're dealing with two air signs in the soul and the same soul ray, the second ray of love wisdom. Perhaps the soul of Great Britain is functioning more potently than the soul of the United States, though one sees it attempting to emerge, though in a perhaps often misguided and somewhat futile manner. Still, there are grassroots movements in the United States where people are seizing upon the real meaning of the second ray, and although it is not a governmental demonstration or presentation of the ray, it is potent in terms of influencing the national psyche. So we'll see when that, you know, and air signs are going to relate to the mind, the mental aspect. Air signs to the mental and intuitive aspects. Gemini, well, let's just say Aquarius, in a way, rules the entire cosmic ethers. And the benefits of the life more abundant that can pour from the fiery world of the cosmic ethers. And this the United States may be able to distribute. And Gemini has to do with the great second ray and all relating powers of that second ray, and with the aspect of mind as well. Higher and lower mind, I would say. So, just as is the case with any individual, there's this question of national maturity, the causal body of the nation reaching a certain state of radiation and fullness, which incidentally will also make possible the appearance of esoteric schools in such a nation. So these are the two great democracies. They're under challenge at the present time, not so much from without, but from within, and the certainly in the in both countries, the conflict of ideologies is a potent source of difficulty. I think we'll see this emerging more and more during the next 10 years, and something will have to be done about it if the founding principles of the nations are to be preserved. So, we have Great Britain and the United States closely related through Gemini, through air signs. And as I say, this brings in the mental and intuitive aspects. We have the universal mind coming in under Aquarius, And we have the intuitive mind, interestingly, coming in under Gemini. At least Gemini is one of the signs in which, perhaps the sign in which the first faint flickers of the intuition are detected. That India and Great Britain are related through the first-ray personalities of Great Britain and the egoic ray of India, and also through the sign of England itself. That's not the UK, it's a part of it. Sign of England and India, and England, which is Aries, and of India, India's soul, which is also Aries. I suppose the red coats by which the soldiers of England were known have a lot to do with the Aries rulership. At least it's one of the effects. And India's soul probably has been somewhat submerged of late. Maybe in ancient days, among the elite, it had emerged, and through the religion of Brahmanism, which was a first-ray religion, we are told, and its day will come again. The implications are clear and interesting and also encouraging. Obviously, some kind of cooperation here predicted between India and Great Britain, and certainly there has been colonization, but still, I suppose, an important connection between the two. So certain nations will be responsible for the welfare of humanity as a whole. I was thinking about the Darjeeling as the major planetary center working through India. It has a fifth ray personality, apparently. And this is interesting, correlating with the fifth ray soul of London. Two major centers. So the fifth ray soul, get that in red, ray soul of London correlates with the fifth ray, I want to see if I, soul of Darjeeling. There are many lines of cooperation, and they are going to emerge into greater consciousness and understanding by humanity. Also, there are lines of conflict, and those are clearly drawn. The consciousness aspect of the British people is steadily shifting into an expression of their second ray soul. I think it's very much that now. The imperialism is gone in this day and age. I guess there was such a sacrifice during the war, such a financial sacrifice, that the United Kingdom was left financially compromised. Not exactly in ruins, but financially compromised. And the switch away from Taurus and the first ray to Gemini and the second ray is quite dramatic. It's very tolerant in a certain respect, but some of that stability and grit of the Taurian will be needed, I think, in the future. If the values that lie behind the British people and their defense of Western civilization is to are to prevail. So there's a steady shift into the expression of the secondary soul, and hence they're seizing upon the opportunity at this time to serve humanity at immense cost. Here, this appears to have been written during the war. During the bombings, I'll have to check with Keith Bailey. He will know more about this as to when these things were written. But the immense cost of Britain did not appear until the interaction with Germany became really destructive. And then the attacks began from Germany to England after France had fallen. The same thing is happening to the American people. The problem of shifting idealisms is great, as I've said, and the temptation to hide behind the glamour of fighting for an ideal rather than react to world need and to omit to react to the ray of the soul, which is the second ray of love. This is a problem for the U.S., fighting for the ideal. But you see, the sixth ray does not have broad vision until much later in its evolution or expression. So an extensive worldview, well, perhaps now is being more forced upon the United States. It's wakening up to the fact that it does not stand alone and is not the center of the world. I would say what's happening here, and it will be necessary for the expression of the secondary Aquarian soul in the U.S., is there is a process of decentralization. Occurring in the U.S. And this is necessary for the expression of its Aquarian second ray soul. Okay. Now the forces flowing through Tokyo are those of the first ray in its lower material aspect. And this, of course, was at the time when Japan was very aggressive. Japan is governed by the soul ray in the consciousness of its leaders. This is the fourth ray we're speaking of. Its sixth ray personality is responding to the call of the first ray energy. And so we have, or had at least at that time, a militant idealism. Let's just call a aggressive militarism. Both the first ray and the sixth ray contributing to that. Hence all the present unhappy attitudes. And we have to remember that the fourth ray is the ray of the warrior. So if Japan has a fourth ray Scorpio soul and a sixth ray, is it a Capricorn personality? I'm not sure. Because the personality ray changes, and the personality rays change, and there was a huge change in Japan after the war. So it might be the case that the personality ray or the sign of it changed. But anyway, there is apparently a sixth ray personality in Japan as a whole, now working through a Capricorn personality sign, and a fourth ray, a warrior soul, working through Scorpio. So the samurai attitude was transposed into the present sort of industrial, social, nationalistic mode. And hence also the links with Germany through the soul ray of both nations, yes. Obviously, Germany, a fourth ray soul. Let's see. Soul. And apparently, Japan, a fourth ray soul. Both have brought through great creations of beauty, and there is a beauty in the way of life of the more refined and elevated Japanese people that speaks to the fourth ray, just the way the great music has poured forth through Germany. And Italy, and with Italy through the personality rays, well, what we have here is the personality ray of Japan, ray 6, connecting with the Sol ray of Italy, ray 6, and also Spain with its 6th ray Sol took up a fascist position. Anyway, he's showing us here the ray, the reasons for the axis in terms of rays. The first ray Sol of Germany, excuse me, the first ray personality of Germany connecting with the first ray distributed through Tokyo. And these were retrogressive influences based on glamour and idealism. As DK has told us, Japan was equivalent to Maya, Germany to glamour, the most powerful of them all, and Italy to illusion. So the Carabus, the three-headed dog, you know, the three major heads of the Hydra, or groups of heads, they emerged at this time to fight against the impending progress of humanity. Well, let's see where we are here. I think we're at the point where we can say that this is the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 134A, and we're page 525. Okay. 525 and beginning of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 134B, page 525.